This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring author, psychologist, and daily contributor, Siobhan Scott.
More bizarre happenings in the case of Rex Heuermann, the man accused of being the Long Island serial killer, the Gilgo Beach murderer, all-around boogeyman of the area that allegedly did some pretty horrible things, murder being one of them, but also we've learned so much more about his life, alleged sex parties in the basement of his home, his wife allegedly being aware of some of those parties, not necessarily the murders, but a lot of craziness. And when we look back at some of those allegations and sworn affidavits, it also involves some law enforcement attending those parties, being a part of those parties. And we all know the case and the story of the former police chief in the area that was also very much running in the same sexual circles of Rex Heuermann. All of it not looking very good. The optics are bad. But then there was a hero that came in, Rodney Harrison, the current or former, depending on when you're listening to this, Suffolk County Police Commissioner. And by all accounts, he really had this going well. This would be like the career case, possibly. And he's been very, I don't know, outspoken is the right word, but I guess determined more so to see this through. Suddenly, the other week, he's stepping down. He gave his resignation, saying, "I am out." I didn't know what to make of that when I saw that. It seemed very out of character. It seemed very opposite of the way he'd been expressing himself in recent interviews and such. What do you make of this, of him stepping down in it's such a crucial time while this investigation is still ongoing and they now do have a suspect?
Yeah, it was really a surprise because I don't think we would have Heuermann without Rodney Harrison, mm-hmm. you know, at this point. What I have read this week is that there was an election for a new county executive and that it was anticipated that the person who was, you know, most apt to win the election would have replaced him with a new person in that position, and that he was anticipating that, and he just sort of proactively, you know, just made the decision to step down before he was replaced. So I don't know if that's true or if there are other factors. There may have been multiple factors involved in it. But I have to say, I'm sorry to see him go, you know, because we would like to see that resolved as well. And he clearly had put the energy in that needed to be put into that law enforcement community to get some action and to solve this case.
Leaving without a whole lot of explanation either, there was nothing that was said in the statement to allude that maybe he got a great offer somewhere else. Right. And, you know, he's going to do it for his career, for his family, nothing of that nature. So it does really make you wonder. One of the things that came to my mind right away, and this is just complete conjecture and speculation, is did he get too close to something? Did he uncover something or something far larger than Rex Heuermann involving the sex workers, involving illicit behavior, maybe even involving murder, that maybe was even bigger than the Suffolk County Police Department and bigger than anything he could wrangle in without caring for his own safety? That is what kind of came to my mind right away of, do I keep going down this road or do I step back because I'm concerned for myself, my own safety, or maybe my own family's safety?
Okay, that is a plot for a really creepy suspense movie.
It is.
And weird things happen in the world. I mean, who would guess that there were sex parties in the Heuermann home if that turns out to be true? I mean, it's just a weird case, a creepy case. Of course, serial killers are always creepy and weird. But again, another one of these odd cases with layer upon layer, and probably anything is possible. I would hope not. I would hope not that there's something that big and conspiratorial going on. But there's certainly a lot that needs to be looked at.
Sure. I mean, it's funny you say that, like the plot to a creepy horror movie or thriller.
I would watch that movie.
This is a movie. This already is that. This already is a creepy, suspenseful horror movie. That's why it kind of plays in the narrative. I'm not trying to make any accusation or anything, but it's just, it's hard not to have your mind go down that road with what we already do know that factually about this case. What's your take on where things are standing with Asa Elrup, his wife, this last week, making the first appearance in the jail? Went and visited her husband, who she is estranged from right now. The divorce is not finalized by any means. One would think that this would certainly have grounds for an emergency divorce that could have been probably wrapped up by now, but that really hasn't happened.
I'm sure there are things that she wanted to ask him and things that she wants to say. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me that it took her some time to try and, you know, gain some sense of calm and clarity in order to be able to have a conversation with him. So I guess it doesn't surprise me that conversation would happen. And again, she presents as sort of an odd duck, mm-hmm. you know, at best, and hard to know at this point how many of these, you know, these rumors and allegations and, you know, what did she know? What, you know, how much of this is true? It's another strange piece. She is kind of an unusual lady, but I'm sure that there were questions she had or things that she felt she needed to get off her chest.
How important is that psychologically for somebody to be able to go and do that when you find out the allegations or you believe the allegations against your partner are true? I mean, something like this, these absolutely horrible allegations of murder. Obviously, we don't know quite yet if she was aware of his lifestyle and such, but to be able to go in there and say something, is that an act of trying to heal yourself after something like this, after this news comes to one?
Yeah, a person would be left with so many incredibly overwhelming, disturbing emotions. And at some point, they need to do some communicating, but it's usually not immediately. It's after they have to calm things down, sort things into categories, and then come up with the things that they need to say or the questions they need to ask. So it's not unusual. Often people do it in writing. I often encourage people to do that sort of thing in writing, just because it's easier to stay calm and clear and focused, you know, on a piece of paper than it is to do it in person. But, you know, we don't know enough about her to know how much that may have been a part of her recovery.
Yeah, it does make you wonder a little bit. I mean, in something like that, I think a lot of people would look at it on the surface and go, well, why would you even say anything to him? I mean, where is that going to go? What is that going to help you? But it's not necessarily about that. Is it something like that?
No.
It's more so you're doing it for yourself. It doesn't matter what reaction you're getting.
Totally for yourself. And, you know, to express your confusion, your hurt, your anger, the impact this has had on the kids. I mean, I think if we look at her as a survivor of a trauma, it's important for survivors to be able to communicate that. And often if they can communicate it to the person who caused this hurt, they do feel better. And that's all that really matters.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.